I'm Bob Bolton from the University of Alaska Fairbanks, and this is Alaska Voices, a place for communities to connect through conversation in order to build a better tomorrow for Alaskans and the world.
Originally, I grew up in Gakona, Alaska.
Tyonek.
Egypt.
Idaho.
Grand Park.
St. Lawrence Island.
St. Paul.
And I'm here with my student.
My science buddy.
My teacher.
My homie.
I'm his daughter.
I am Sean Carter, I'm 46 years old, and I am with my co-worker, Emily Fort.
And my name is Emily Fort, I'm age 43, and this is being recorded in Reston, Virginia at USGS, U.S. Geological Survey, and Sean is my colleague. So Sean, how did you get interested in science and sort of what led you to working on climate change and biodiversity impacts?
I was always the kid getting outside and getting lost and grimy and playing with frogs and cutting trees. I think inherently I've just always tended toward natural things and then trying to figure out why they work and why they are. I've studied and published on leeches and turtles and butterflies and salamanders and birds and trees. And so I've really just always followed my curiosity. And climate change really only came into the picture when I got my first real job with the National Park Service. And there I was working with resource managers and helping them study their creepy crawly things in the parks and monitor them. And it was so profound in what it was doing to our parks, which I love. So I really took that up from a science perspective as the challenge of our age. Being in D.C., I quickly learned that it also was a highly politicized and politically charged policy issue. So I actually did a little bit on science policy related to climate change and then quickly decided that it wasn't as much fun as studying the critters. So my question for you, kind of thinking back in your current position, what are some of your experiences that you feel you've been able to bring to this job that have really served you well?
I grew up near Oak Ridge, Tennessee, and living near that site and that impact of that and on the environment and what that meant and how people understood risk and risk analysis and the radiation was something that I just always thought was fascinating. And I don't know if you remember, it was really big news there, was the Champion paper mill and all the industrial pollution of the river and the environmental effects and health of that. I did some work in high school on that topic and that understanding how the chemicals and the environmental pollutants were affecting the wildlife and the habitats and the environment was something that I was really upset about and interested in. I've loved science, but for me, it's always like, well, why should I care? What's it important? What's the impact? What are we going to do with this information that we learn? That's always been really interesting to me. Certainly when we were in Alaska last fall and went out to Denali, I'd never been to a national park. I'd never seen tundra and certainly the wildlife. It was just startling to see that in person and see how beautiful that area is and how easy it is to lose. And once you lose it, you can't go back to that state.
So we both kind of had a early conservation ethic that started us on a similar path of using science and information to try and help conservation, whether it's related to human health or wild critters.
What are some examples or things that you've learned about during your time here that kind of give you hope for how things might evolve in the future?
When I got my training to be a scientist, I always thought that it's just like any other profession where you learn skills and then you're the expert and then you are trusted to do your work and people respect that. But now when we don't have the answers or when we can't give answers on the kind of time frame that people expect, I think what we're learning is that we need to really open up about what we don't know and the limits of our understanding. And on one hand, as a scientist, it kind of maybe devalues the contribution that I'm making because I have to admit that I don't know the answers. But on the other hand, I think that it shows if you can at least find some place to meet people And for me, with climate change, is that we're all on the same planet and we're really significantly impacting it. And we all have to live together, so let's try and figure out how to do that in a sustainable way. If we can at least meet there, then I'm fine bringing people into the discussion, just saying, you know, this is what we think is going on, but frankly, we don't know. And it's important that we have your support and kind of go on this journey together.
Whit, how have people responded when you say, look, I don't know, we need to work together? Do most people respond positively and they're willing to do that? Or have you ever had anyone say, look, you're supposed to know the answers to this, so what's the point of talking to you if you don't know the answer?
Sometimes I go to cocktail parties with my wife, who's a veterinarian, and I've been to parties with a lot of business executives and a lot of conservatives and people from just all across the spectrum, the value spectrum, the political spectrum, the knowledge spectrum. So I've had to kind of learn my elevator speech about why study climate change and even, do you think it's real or do you think it's not? Of course, I think it's real. What I found is sometimes people want to believe what they want to believe. And if admitting that I don't have all the answers gives them an out, then some people are more than happy to take it and just say, you can't say that my beliefs are less valuable than yours.
I think what we're doing is important, and there is a way to talk about it that's going to resonate with people across various spectrums. For me, it just comes down to basic smart planning. You wouldn't make a big life choice without thinking about how that might look in the future. And to me, that's a lot of what this is. There's obviously more to it, but I think to not take into account something that is likely to affect your plans would be silly.
Alaska Voices builds bridges by creating a space where community members, friends, policymakers, and scientists can share stories and place-based knowledge. This project was developed in partnership with StoryCorps and was funded by the Alaska Climate Adaptation Science Center. Additional funding was provided by the University of Alaska Fairbanks Chancellor through a generous gift from the Bentley Family Trust. Alaska Voices would not be possible without the help and efforts of an amazing group of people. Our producer and audio engineer is Kelsey Skomberg of Mossy Stone Media. Our podcast and outreach specialist is Michael DeLu. And our website designer is Carolyn Rosner. If you are interested in more conversations or information, please visit our website at alaskavoices.org.